Please give your attention to the text, beginning in Psalm chapter 23, verse 1.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
May the Lord bless the preaching of his word this morning.
Thank you, my brother and sister, Brian and Kimberly, for reading the text this morning. Surely Psalm 23 must be the most loved, most sung, most prayed, most quoted, most studied psalm in the entire Bible. As I was talking with Pastor Stephen about the message today, I said, if we were to poll our church on scripture memorization, I bet more people in the church would know a verse from this section than probably any other verse in scripture, save perhaps John 3:16. Psalm 23 has had, as one theologian said, more ink spilled about it than any other passage in the scriptures. But we are warned today, as one other theologian writes, the very familiarity of this psalm can present a challenge to us, that those who know it well may pass by its truths too quickly. As we have for many summers here at Grace Baptist Church, we take out part of our summer to preach through the Psalms. We call it the Psalms of Summer. In years past, we have gone through 4, 5, 6, or even 8 Psalms, as we did last summer, Psalms 1 through 8. But this year, instead of going through multiple Psalms this summer, we will spend the next 7 weeks going through Psalm 23, verse by verse, thought by thought, in order to mine the rich treasures of these truths and not to fall prey to the dangers of those who know it well pass by it too quickly. Psalm 23 is primarily a psalm of confidence and trust. Everyone say confidence and trust. It is not primarily a psalm of comfort, although we derive much comfort from it. It has become the funeral psalm. It is the one that is most commonly read at funerals. One Scottish preacher, a parish minister at Loudon Church in Scotland, recounts that over his lifetime of ministry in his parish, attended 350 funerals at which Psalm 23 was either read or sung. While I have not nearly accumulated that number of funerals, yet I have participated in, observed, attended many here at our church and at other churches in which this psalm was read as a source of strength to remind us of God's comfort even through the valley of the shadow of death. But it is more than that. It's not only that, it is more than that. It is a psalm of trust so that all people going through the difficulties of his or her personal life through many years can look back and say, God has been good to me as a shepherd, can look at their current circumstances and say, I'm confident that God is good to me as a shepherd, and can look forward and say, even though someday I might go through times of difficulty and darkness, I know that God will be good to me as a shepherd. Psalm 23 is a psalm of confidence and trust, and I hope that over our time together over the next few weeks, that your trust and confidence in God as your shepherd will be bolstered and strengthened, and that it will impact the way you live, the way you navigate the difficulties and struggles of life. Has anyone had a difficult life in here? Anyone going through some struggles or difficulties? For sure. It is in those moments when we are reminded, if it's up to me alone to figure out where to go, if it's up to my wisdom alone to know what to do, if it's up to my strength alone to defend myself against those who would hurt me or harm me, I will fail. If only I had someone who knew where to take me. If only I had someone who knew what I needed. If only I had someone who was strong enough to protect me from those outside and from my own weaknesses inside. If only I had a person like that to walk with me through life. Psalm 23 says, oh, you do. You do have someone like that. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. This sermon today will focus on that phrase alone. The Lord is my shepherd. This will be kind of like an introductory view or an overview sermon to help prepare us for the rest of Psalm 23. Why are we going about it this way? Because the Psalms were written to be sung. The Psalms were written to be prayed. They were written as a response to God from his people, the people of Israel. And so, if we're to take confidence and strength from Psalm 23, we need to understand what it means and how we are supposed to sing this song back to God. There are four things I would like for you to consider today that would help you better understand this psalm, and so that as we move forward over the next several weeks and dig in deep to what David writes, you will be better equipped to sing this song of confidence back to God, to pray this prayer of confidence and trust back to the Lord. First, we want to understand it from the perspective of the Israelites. This was their songbook before it was ours. What does it mean that God was the shepherd of Israel? Second, we want to understand it from the perspective of David. David wrote it. It was his idea. It was his words. God gave it to him. What does it mean that God was the shepherd of David? And then we'll move on to look at Christ, to understand what it means that God was the shepherd of Christ. And finally, how God is the shepherd of redeemed sinners. So let us look first at what does it mean that God is the shepherd of Israel? That God is the shepherd of Israel. This poem begins with this great theological statement. It's almost like a creed. It's something we can hang our hats on. It's something that is firm and fixed, a foundational truth. The Lord is my shepherd. Here, David invokes God's covenant name, Yahweh. It is the name of God as he identifies himself to his people, on which he has built their relationship. He is their covenant God. In that day, in the ancient Near East, Many times, rulers and kings were described as shepherds of their people. This was a common reference. That king is shepherding his people. And you could tell if someone was a good king by the state of their flock. If the herd of sheep were skinny and full of illness and driven too hard and not well protected and were prey for wolves and lions, you would immediately look at their shepherd and say, their shepherd is not a good shepherd. But if their sheep were well fed, well cared for, groomed, protected, brought into the pen at night, then you would look at their shepherd and say, oh, their shepherd is a good shepherd. So it is not strange for the people of Israel to look at God and say, oh, our God is our shepherd. This idea of shepherding linked with a king or a ruler or a deity was common, and it was clear in the Old Testament. Israel viewed God as their shepherd. God claimed to be Israel's shepherd. In Joshua, Moses is speaking, and he says, in Numbers chapter 27, Moses is speaking, and Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Moses appeals to God that God would shepherd his people tangibly through a person so that God's leading of his people Israel would be evident for all to see. Psalm 80, the supplication, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. When the people of Israel would sing Psalm 23, they would have a very clear understanding of who their shepherd was. It was their covenant king, their God, Yahweh. Deuteronomy 32 describes about God's love for his people, and it uses these shepherding descriptions. It speaks of God finding Jacob, Deuteronomy 32:10. He found him in the desert land, in the wasteland, in a howling wilderness, and he encircled him, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Oh, the Old Testament is filled with these allusions that God was the shepherd of his people. When the children of Israel would have sung this song back to God, the Lord is my shepherd, they would have been reminded that as God brought them out of Egypt and through the Exodus, that God was always with them, like a shepherd is with his sheep. The presence of God was there in a pillar of fire by day, in a cloud of smoke by night. He dwelt with his people in the tabernacle. Moses reminded God in Exodus 33, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us away from here. But if you go with us, we will go with you. They would have been fully aware that God is a good shepherd, walks with his sheep, and is present with his sheep. But a good shepherd also protects his sheep. Israelites would have sung of God's protection. They would have been reminded of how he brought them out of Egypt, safe from Pharaoh, brought them into a promised land, set them up, established them, conquered their foes around them. As they sung this song, they would have been reminded that God, like a shepherd, protected them. Moses, whenever the ark set out in front of the children of Israel, would sing to God, rise up, O Lord, may your enemies be scattered, may your foes flee before you. This was the confidence that Israel had in their shepherd king, God, to protect them. They were often admonished to not be afraid as they walked through the wilderness and into the promised land, not because they were greater in number than their enemies, but because God was with them. So God would say, do not be afraid of their faces. Do not be afraid of your foes. I am with you. God provided for them in the wilderness. He gave them manna. He gave them quail. He gave them water. Everything they needed to live, to keep moving, God, the good shepherd, gave to his people. When Israel would sing, the Lord is my shepherd, they would have collectively been thinking of their history as God's covenant people, who he protected, whom he provided for, whom he was present with. And they would have been reminded that God brought them all the way through to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land with water, a land where they could rest, a land where they could live, where they could be satisfied and flourish. When the children of Israel would sing this song that David had written, they would have thought, my God is the covenant-keeping God who walks with his people, who provides for his people, who cares for his people, who leads us into the promised land. As they sang, that's what they would have been thinking. The Lord is my shepherd. I wonder if you, looking back over your life, when you sing, the Lord is my shepherd, view him in this way. Do you see a God who has provided, protected, was present, cared for? Do you look back and extol his faithfulness, his presence with you? Do you say, that's who my shepherd is? That's what the children of Israel would have sang. We are cared for by this covenant-keeping God. But more than the corporate confidence they had, they would have also had individually been confident that God was their particular shepherd. The bold confession, the Lord is my shepherd, Yahweh is my shepherd, is a confidence bridge. It says that God, the God of the universe, leads me particularly. Psalm 119, the very conclusion of that great chapter, beginning in verse 174. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it will praise you, and let your judgments help me. Verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Oh, the children of Israel could say corporately, with confidence, God is our covenant-keeping shepherd who has brought us out of Egypt and is keeping us to this day. But they also could say individually, I myself am a sinner. I am far from you. Covenant-keeping God, great creator of the world, great judge of the world, would you be my shepherd? Would you come down and rescue me? I am astray. I need to be sought after. How would they have sung this? They would have sung it in that way. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7, to conclude this point, says, speaking of the true shepherd of Israel, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. If you, Christian, are going to pray Psalm 23, you need to understand what it means that God was the good shepherd of Israel and how they would have prayed it. Number two, this psalm was written by David, King David. He himself was a shepherd. What would it have meant for David to sing this to God, that the Lord is my shepherd? You remember the story of David, just the youngest son in a large family, out tending the sheep. David himself, a shepherd, fully aware of what it meant to live with, protect, feed, care for these animals. He would have known their foolishness, their foolhardiness, their stupidity, their stubbornness. He would have known how prone they are to go off and how foolish they are in the face of danger. David would have known all of these things. And so when he writes, listen, the Lord is my shepherd, he assumes that he is a what? A sheep. David helps us to understand if we are to sing this song, there are two recognitions that must take place. First, God is a good shepherd, but we are foolish sheep. If you find yourself here today and you don't need a shepherd, then you don't need God. If you find yourself self-content, fully able, knowing what to do, you don't need a good shepherd. If you are fully confident of your sufficient ability to spot danger at every corner, to know all the ins and outs of every theological problem or struggle, and you can say, I am strong enough on my own, you don't need a good shepherd. If you are wealthy, if you have power, if you have fame, if you're a ruler, and you say, I am good enough, you don't need a shepherd. But David the king, David the wealthy one, David the one with power, he recognized when God is a good shepherd that he himself was a sheep in need of a shepherd. How would David have sung this? He would have recognized his own weakness. He would have looked back over his life and seen his propensity to sin, his weakness in the face of temptation, the times when he was not a good father, when he did not raise his children well. He would have seen those times when he ruled poorly and numbered Israel in spite of God's good command. He would have looked back at times when he made bad administrative decisions in his ruling as a king, and he would have said, I need a shepherd to help me through life. If we are to read Psalm 23 in the way that David read it, we must humbly admit we need a shepherd in life. You remember when he went to the battlefront to visit his brothers and he was introduced to Saul, he recounted his experience as a shepherd. He was asked kind of in a negative downward way, you left your few sheep in the wilderness alone to come here, you young child, essentially. What are you doing here? But David, in his willingness to obey God and fight Goliath, recounts God's help with him as a shepherd. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, he said he would go after it and he would strike it and he would kill that lion and bear and he would rescue the sheep. In the same way, he says, that God delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. David's confidence was not in his ability to shepherd himself, but in God's ability to shepherd him. But there's more to this. If I could just kind of bridge from David to Christ for just a second. David is the king who represents Israel to God and God to Israel. There was a bad king before him. We might say a not true king, a corrupt king, an evil king, King Saul. And David is appointed as the true king, as the representative head of the people. Psalm 78 67 through 72 says, moreover, God rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth, which he has established forever. He chose David, his servant. He took him from the sheepfolds and from following the ewes, the young sheep that had young. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them, David shepherded the people of God according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Now, let me just stay with me for just a second. David sings Psalm 23 knowing God is a shepherd, and David is shepherding the people of God. And he's saying, God, I need you to shepherd me while I shepherd your people. You have put me here to be a representative of you. Will you lead me as I lead these people? This is a direct correlation to Christ. But I want to make one application here before we move on. Parents, you have been put as under-shepherds over your children. You need the great shepherd to shepherd you while you shepherd your children. Employers, bosses, those who have authority in our world, in our community, as God has put you in authority, do not arrogantly or foolishly stand up and say, now I will lead on my own power. You need the great shepherd to shepherd you as you lead those under your authority. Pastors who are the under shepherds in the church, we must rely on the great shepherd to lead us while we lead those underneath us. David was this shepherd that God had appointed over Israel, and yet he looked to God to be his shepherd. David is a picture of Christ who is to come. Do you understand that the kings of Israel eventually failed their people? They stopped shepherding according to God's good design. The elders and leaders of Israel, they took advantage of the people. Instead of loving them and serving them, they fleeced them, you might say. Ezekiel 34, God responds to these poor shepherds of Israel who have neglected the flock. The kings, the rulers, the teachers, the elders, the religious leaders. And God says, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and I will gather them in from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel, and they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. And I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away. I will bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. David is a picture of God's good shepherds who are shepherding the flock. But over time, that good picture of shepherding goes away and is replaced by corrupt, evil shepherds. So God says, all right, enough with you. I will now put in place my own shepherd. I will shepherd Israel. And I will call them out, I will bring my people back and rescue them and save them. How does God do that? He sends Christ. Christ now is the shepherd by which God leads his people. Point number three, the Lord is the shepherd of Christ. You see, Pastor Curtis, hold on for just a second. I thought you said that Christ was the good shepherd. We'll get there in point number four, but you must understand that Jesus would have sung, he would have sung Psalm 23. And how would Jesus have understood that Yahweh God, his Father, was shepherding him? Well, what is the psalm right before Psalm 23? It's not a trick question. You can say it. It rhymes with 22. But what is Psalm 22? Psalm 22 is the psalm of suffering. It's the psalm that Christ quotes on the cross. It's the cry of pain, of abandonment. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Verse 6. I'm a worm, no man, a reproach of men, despised by all the people. Those who see me ridicule me. They say, He who trusts in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Verse 12, I am surrounded. They gape at me with their mouths like raging and roaring lions. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart melts within me. Verse 15, all my strength is dried up. Verse 16, they have pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Before you can sing Psalm 23 with confidence, you need to understand that Christ sang Psalm 23 with confidence. Because Christ was appointed to be the shepherd by which God rescues you and rescues his people. And God sent Christ through unimaginable darkness in the valley of despair, in the valley of the shadow of death. And did Christ give up? Did Christ despair? Did Christ lay down on his mission? Did he say, I'll do anything else, but don't send me to die for these people? No, Christ went through the darkness for you. He looked to God and he said, you are my good shepherd. You will go with me. You will provide for me. You will protect me. And what does God do for Christ? He brings him through that dark valley. He prepares a table for Christ in the presence of his enemies. He anoints Christ with oil. He blesses him. And Christ dwells now with God forever. Jesus himself was confident that God was his shepherd. And he walked through the darkest valley, the valley of sin and the payment of sin and God's wrath and God's judgment. And he went through it without fear for you and for me. Jesus Christ is the ultimate shepherd king. He is the one who can sing Psalm 23 truest and most fully with a strong voice. He has seen God's faithful guidance and leadership through everything and can say Yahweh God is a good God who keeps his covenant. This is Jesus Christ. He sang Psalm 23 with confidence. The Lord is the shepherd of Christ, and Christ is the shepherd of redeemed sinners. So now we come all the way down to today. I started with a history lesson. I wanted you to understand that God as a shepherd didn't begin with Christians. It began way back in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, where God said, I will shepherd these people. And Israel would have sung it, knowing God protected us and kept us all the way through. David would have sung, God was like a shepherd to me. He protected me. He helped me. And even as a king, I shepherd now, knowing God is my good shepherd. And I want to lead his people in the way that he's led me. And I wanted to show you that Christ is the ultimate example of the shepherd king, the righteous one who brings his flock home at night. And Jesus trusted in God through the darkest of times. And you can trust in Jesus as the good shepherd. When we sing Psalm 23, we only sing Psalm 23 through the lens of Christ. Without Christ, it does not make sense to us. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus is the good shepherd for redeemed sinners. I trust that many of you have known that and experienced that, but I just want to say to you today, the good shepherd calls his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice, and they come to him. And maybe today, Christ is calling some of you to repent of your sin, to believe and obey, to follow him. Hear his voice. Respond in faith. Listen to the good shepherd. He died for you. He gave up his life for you so that you could be forgiven. You need a good shepherd to help you make it through the senselessness and the purposelessness and the despair and the darkness of this world. You need a good shepherd to protect you from the evils without and the evil within. You need a good shepherd to lead you home to a place of peace and rest and safety and joy and comfort. You need a good shepherd, and Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who gives up his life for his sheep. Micah 2, 12 through 13, predicting this Savior who would come and rescue God's people. I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like a sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. And one who breaks open the way will go before them. They will break through the gate and go out, and their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Jesus is the shepherd who goes before his people and rescues them. I spoke to unbelievers for just a second. Can I speak to Christians for just a moment? When we, with trust and confidence, sing Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, that bolsters the weakened heart. That strengthens the tottering, unstable faith, because it reminds us that our stability, listen, our confidence, our settledness is not in our ability to be good sheep. Listen, there's no thing as good sheep. There's only sheep who follow good shepherds. And if you are following Christ, if he is your shepherd, you can be confident, even though the world around you is in turmoil, even though darkness is encroaching, even though you may lack or suffer need, even though you may see the eyes of wolves and predators in the bushes and trees around you, you can follow Christ. He is a good, good shepherd. My friends who struggle with assurance of salvation, of knowing who they are in Christ, be reminded today that your identity in Christ is not rooted in your ability to cling to your identity in Christ, right? It's not in your willpower. It is settled in Christ. Look to him, trust him. He is the good, good shepherd. He will lead us all the way to the end. I mean, that's a sermon for 5 weeks from now, right? But I just can't get past this by pointing out verse 6, and we'll conclude here. The same Lord who begins the psalm, leading us out as the shepherd, concludes the psalm by inviting us to live with him forever. The shepherd Lord is the one who will dwell with us forever. Oh, my Christian friends, Jesus is the good shepherd who saves redeemed sinners. That brings us to the concluding part of our time together today, in which we will participate in the Lord's Supper. I invite those who are going to serve the Lord's Supper at this time to go to the back, get it ready, and then go ahead and come on up. While they are moving back to the back, this supper is a picture of what Christ did when he said, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." In just a moment, we will partake of two elements, bread and juice. Jesus taught that the bread symbolized his body that was broken for us on the cross. The juice symbolizes his blood that was shed on behalf of sinners at the cross. When we Christians take the Lord's Supper, listen, what we are saying is, The Lord is my shepherd. He is my good shepherd who gave up his life for his sheep. Can you say that today? Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? Are you trusting in him for the forgiveness of your sins? Let us take a moment in quiet reflection and contemplation as we hand out the elements and hold on to the bread and the juice, and we will partake together in just a moment. If you are not a Christian, if you have not confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you have not publicly been joined to him in baptism, if you are living in outright open rebellion and hard-hearted before the Lord and have not repented, do not partake of the Lord's Supper. Let me warn you today. But if Christ is your shepherd, if you've turned to him in faith, repented, and believed, then with joy and with confidence, remember Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Let's take a quiet moment of reflection and prayer, and we'll hand out the elements at this time.